Not every geek with a Commodore 64 can hack into NASA. This one's dedicated to all the hackers.
Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
My butt's itchy.
Say what?
My butt's itchy. This is a little bit of...
This is the show.
Let me squirm.
This is the... Are we started over?
No, we're not. Keep it.
This is gold comedy gold here. This is the show where we drop nerd and geek knowledge as well as music on you every week, with the exception of the last 2 weeks. One is just... it was Thanksgiving.
In order to get last week's episode, you need to pay $5.99 for one of our special crates.
Is this
with a chance to win last week's episode?
That's this is gonna be fun. This is gonna be a fun episode. Before we go any further, exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that P. That's the website. We have all of our news reviews. At least it will. I swear. Once I copy or cut and all the stuff together, and you know, it's almost the end of the semester.
How many times have you promised, Father?
I could probably go back and find out. I'll do it whenever I'm cutting the audio together. But at some point, I'll be like, "And this is when MG said, this is when MG started lying to you."
I hope a super fan is out there is listening, and they can send us an edited montage of that. 4 minutes.
I love it. It's coming. It's coming soon. We also have social media. exppoints.com/social is a landing page. You can go there for iTunes and Stitcher, which is we have streaming music on that. Or streaming episodes on there, but also Facebook, Google Plus, Twitter, YouTube, and Steam community. Thank you for subscribing and following. If you did all of that,
there's not a whole lot of reasons why you couldn't get this.
You can get it in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. Out of context, that's weird. It's not false. We are gonna cut to two songs, come back and talk about what we did last week, and then we promise we're gonna get around to the main segment. This is Absolute Territory by Ken Ashcorp, and then Bustin' by Neil Cicerega. We'll catch you after the break. I am MG.
I'm Dustin.
And this is the Experience Points Radio Show. This is my part.
I'm sorry.
This is Experience
Points. I was letting him know it's not itchy
on
anymore.
On Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
Stay in your lane.
You're not my supervisor.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm still MG.
He made me put down my Switch.
I did. You were playing Odyssey real hard.
Yeah. I'm Dustin Arroyo, by the way.
You just heard Neil Cicerega with Bustin, and before that, Ken Ashcorp with Absolute Territory. I can't read my own writing. I think I just had a stroke. Like, I look down, and I'm like,
you almost started this show. Welcome to South Africa.
Welcome to South Africa, everybody. We're swiggity swooty. That's what we're doing.
It's a sickness.
We haven't had a show in a little while, in probably 2 weeks, and a lot of stuff's happened between it. Well, not between us.
Yeah. A lot.
Love hurts. No.
If you would just sign the papers.
I'm sorry, look. I think we can make this work. I can't adopt you. I'm sorry. I cannot adopt you. Everybody thought we were talking about something else. What have you been up to? Dustin, what have you been doing? What's been going on? Now, hold on. Historically, this is the longest segment of the You and Me show.
This is usually
so
it.
We have to, look, we're 15 minutes in the show right now, so hopefully this isn't going to be a 45-minute what we did last week.
I didn't do too much last week. I'll keep it short video game wise because I was so busy with the other station and everything like that. But for, I believe, either the fourth or fifth time in my life, I have bought Skyrim.
Oh, no. For the Switch?
I did.
Come on.
I tried.
Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. I'm not going to berate you. You're going to be my son soon enough. Look, what about Skyrim on the Switch other than it existing on the Switch? Is there a reason to buy it for the Switch other than it's on the Switch? I get it. When people are like, yeah, you know, I work for Sony, and they came out with this Betamax thing. So if you want to buy some Betamax, Well, you know where to get it. And I invested in Betamax because I work at Sony. Because, I mean, like, you pay, you're in the brand. You're in the ecosystem.
Right.
And I know people do this with Apple. They're like, oh, I bought the iPad pen.
Pencil. In order to validate the purchase of the Switch, I had to buy the Skyrim.
Is that why you did it? Because you own Skyrim on everything else. You have a smartwatch that has Skyrim on it, I think. You know,
I think I'm waiting.
Your toaster.
I'm waiting for vibrators. So, like, this is a very interesting vibrator. And it runs Skyrim.
Vibrator. What? What kind of DLC? This is work. How does this work? And then all of a sudden, you push room die.
It'll make your dragon rend.
Oh, my gosh. This is Experience Points isn't underwritten in part or at all by anything related to what we're talking about.
None of this for free.
Switches by vibrators, by Skyrim.
Here's what I like. I like the idea that in between classes and everything like that, while I'm out in the world, I'm like, I could play Skyrim wherever I'm at, and I've done that.
All right.
It's pretty cool. It's Skyrim. It's exactly what it sounds like. And to be honest, I'm like, it's not a half-baked Skyrim. This is really Skyrim.
It looked good.
It looks really good.
Now, I've never played Skyrim with a controller.
Ever. PC?
All
PC.
All the way.
I played it on the Xbox 360. Well, originally I played it on the PS3. It was garbage. Didn't function well. Got it for Xbox 360. That was number two I bought it for. And then... stop touching
You're
me.
Like an alcoholic.
And then the third was the PC version. And then this is the fourth, I believe.
All right.
No, fifth, because the Xbox 360 version got stolen. Or no, it was my dad's copy that he took.
My dad
got stolen. No. My dad was stolen. My dad. We went halvesies on it, and I let him have that copy. So I got myself a copy because I worked at GameStop at the time.
Okay.
So it was easy to get one. So this is my...
Minor tangent. Ooh, GameStop.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, GameStop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't even
get GameStop. Recently, I think stock prices are dropping.
As a former employee, they deserve to go. I will get into that later. It's just ridiculous. But this would be my fifth
purchase.
This is my fifth time purchasing Skyrim.
Wow.
And
Have you ever beaten it?
Like the main quest?
No, I would say...
You can never truly
everything
beat
Skyrim. Minus mods. Like the DLC... the Dragonborn mod or the Dragonborn DLC. I mean,
I never
because the mods are infinite. You know, like right. I say, infinite. I guess you can conceivably beat every mod, but
no,
it's
I've
ridiculous.
Never really truly did every single quest. I mean, the most I ever got, even level wise, was in the high 50s.
Okay,
that was the highest level, and even then, there's still stuff I haven't seen yet. Because you get into the 70s and 80s, that's when the legendary dragons show up and some very unique creatures. But that's like Dark Souls, New Game Plus 4 stuff to me. So I never got that far. I always ended up starting new characters because I like the idea of like just having an iron sword and your wits, you know. But it is beautiful. It looks great. I even throw it on the TV sometimes, and it holds up. It's beautiful.
That's what gets me is it's a 5-inch screen or 6-inch screen on, or maybe, I don't know, 6 or 7-inch screen on the Switch.
Yeah.
I don't know what can't look good at 6 or 7 inches. I mean, it doesn't even need to be 1080p. It could be 720p, but the screen's so small.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to write in, that's what she said.
At 6 or 7 inches. I mean, I understand.
What doesn't look good?
Everything looks good at 6 or 7 inches.
Why are you leaving?
Yeah, come back. What are you doing? But I mean, so that's sort of my thing is that finally, and I'm not saying the Switch is primarily a portable game console, but I mean,
that's the appeal.
It's the appeal is that it can be. You know, it could be. It's nice.
If this Switch wasn't portable, I wouldn't have it. To be honest, because when the Wii U first came out, that's what we all thought it was, and that idea excited me. Was that like, oh, it's for the tablet, but then we figured out it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
But then the Switch is that, so they learned from that. But, man, I mean, I could play console-quality games on the go.
That's nifty. I'll say nifty.
And it's
a word I've used.
It's a little bit
a
better than
times.
The. I'll say this: the hardware on the Switch, I'd have to say, as far as graphics are for Skyrim, it's a hair's breadth above the 360 version.
Wow!
It actually looked better than.
Well,
the
so that's nice.
Version.
What bothers me is that I don't know that when Nintendo
stash stroke, man. I hope he recovers soon.
It's the palsy. the speech palsy.
I got the palsy.
I don't know that Nintendo has bolstered their third party efforts to the point where we will get good 3D games on the Switch like the 360 had. With that graphical fidelity and everything, because we have Splatoon. Okay, Splatoon's a Nintendo game, very clearly. Odyssey is Nintendo Party.
Yeah.
Zelda looked fantastic, and now we have the first big, in my opinion, non-Nintendo title, Skyrim.
Yeah.
And it's a game that everybody knows Skyrim. Was it 2011?
Yeah.
Or something? It's
11, been out, 11, it's, 11 it came out.
It's been out for six, you know, years? 6 years, going on 7 years. Well,
it just had its 6 year anniversary.
A little over 6 years old. And, you know, everybody knows it. We've had it. There are a ton of other games that could definitely benefit from being on the Switch.
Right.
That I worry that won't actually get the time of day, get any, you know, won't see sunlight because that's just how we are with Switches.
Yeah, maybe throw like an Arkham Asylum on there. That's another great...
Arkham Asylum would be nice. You know, they've redone that one, you know, remastered that one now, and that's on PS4 and Wii U. Yeah. So I it's one of those things where you look at the Wii U and you go, that would be great on the Switch.
Yeah.
Mario Maker would be great on the Switch.
I think Zombie U would probably be really cool on this.
Yeah, that
too.
Would work.
And there's a lot going on, but
Unknown Battleground. If you could put PUBG on there, that would be the game.
And I think right now, keep in mind, the Nintendo Switch is still very much in its infancy. It's not been around like the 360.
It came out late last year or early this year.
It came out early this year.
It's weird. It feels like it's been out for.
I know.
Like, I mean, it's part of the new generation now. So
yeah, this came out this year, and it's important to realize that. Nintendo was still very wary because, I mean, like, they took a bath on the Wii U.
Oh, yeah.
You're great, so...
They're still trying to sell it for $300, too. It's weird.
I don't really understand that.
Someone needs to tell them. That's not how failures work, guys. You don't have to bury them in New Mexico, but, I mean, you got to do something with them.
Maybe because they don't want to take a huge loss on them, but, like, you've out-marketed yourself with the Switch.
Right.
I'm ready for them to completely move off of the Wii U and start porting that stuff over to... Because I'd love to play Wind Waker on this thing.
I'd love to.
I mean, there's some classic games I'd love to absolutely do on this.
I'm waiting for them to get a legitimate virtual console because a legitimate virtual console, I think, would be such a microtransaction-y, beautiful thing that I'm okay with paying $3.
Those aren't microtransactions. Mini transactions.
So not consistent and reoccurring. But or if you would let me pay $10 a month or $5 a month
for like a
to subscribe
the
to,
old SNES library,
yes,
that'd be really cool.
I would love to play Illusions of Gaia on something other than like a rooted
Link to the Past.
Yes, absolutely. Because right now I play it on like a PS Vita because that's pretty much a dead thing. But
yeah,
you know, and now I play. That's where all my Super Nintendo games are. That I have the cartridges. It's hard to make those HDMI-ified. You know,
and to be honest. With the incredible success that Nintendo Switch has had, it's coming.
It has to. It would be ridiculous, but Nintendo is famous for doing ridiculous things sometimes. So having it wouldn't be... It'd be like, why not? But, it's because you're Nintendo.
Yeah.
You're Nintendo, and you just have these weird, sometimes weird Japanese just... isms and processes that, you know, ticks that we don't understand in Western markets, but... Why? It's just, literally, you'd print money. You would print money. Not that you're not printing money with this thing, but you'd print money. Look, you put regular StarCraft. You give me Star Fox 64 in that thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Boom.
I'm done.
You know, Star Fox 64. Give me your N64. Give me your N64 library. Give me GoldenEye.
Linked up with my friends playing Nintendo Switch. That's going to be a whale of a time, and I would love to have that experience.
Give me the N64 library. And this is from someone who didn't do N64. I didn't own an N64.
Oh, wow. I still
much,
have
much
mine.
Later. Give me N64 games that were the top of the heap.
Smash.
I never did Smash, but I'm thinking like Banjo-Kazooie, like Donkey Kong 64.
My goodness, yeah.
Like give me the, you know, and we see that there's certainly a market with Yooka-Laylee or whatever, the rare people that did Banjo-Kazooie had a Kickstarter and they pretty much
Yooka-Laylee.
Is it just ukulele?
It's ukulele.
Yuka and Lele, yeah.
Yeah, Yuka and Lele. Ukulele.
That's Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, yeah, that's great. It's just adorable,
there's clearly
beautiful.
Still a market for those types of games, for awesome 3D action-adventure platformers.
Make them like $3 or $4 a pop,
and
download them on your thing.
I would buy what I would want.
I would buy a huge amount. And you'd be barely any work. You're just porting it over with the data, and it's nothing to it. Okay, Matt, what did you do last week?
Black Friday.
By the way, he shaved.
I did shave.
He changed his hair.
I found some stuff on the street, put it in my hair, I'm Vincent Businessman.
You look so much more like, I don't know. You look like someone's dad now, and it's driving. Dustin is no longer a host.
Here's the adoption paperwork, son. I like that weird all of a sudden joke we made about adopting me.
Yeah.
Let's not actually do it though, because I'm pretty sure that I have to pay money, and you wouldn't want me. I'll be a terrible dad.
Don't say that.
Oh.
You've never been there, though.
I have never been there for
26
you.
Years. Now you come in.
No. We have a show together.
Kramer versus Kramer scene. Gosh. So what'd you do last week?
So Black Friday, Cyber Monday,
I
went ahead and I purchased Google Minis. And what the Google Home Mini is a little hockey puck. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a hockey puck a la Echo Dot, sort of.
Didn't you have your lights hooked up to this thing?
I did have the Echo. Yeah. Well, I got two refurbished Echo Dots, and I realized that the Echo Dots do wondrous things. They talk to all of these other smart things. It's called IoT, Internet of Things. It's effectively these micro devices that have the internet-enabled feature and that, when signaled by another device, can be controlled. So okay. Philips Hue lights or speakers or Sonos or things like that. I don't have any of those things, though. I've got like Bluetooth speakers in my house, mm-hmm. And like a video receiver, and then I've got Philips Hue lights. So I got these things because the Echo Dots. I'm like, oh, this is what I'm gonna get. And then I realized it doesn't do Google Play Music because Amazon Music and Google Play are competing services.
Yeah.
So, and then I have an Android phone. I don't have an Amazon device really, but it didn't really do anything that the Google Home Mini, which is the exact same thing. It's a hockey puck looking thing. The Amazon Echo Dot is a hockey puck, and the Google Home Mini looks like a little mushroom.
Yeah.
The only thing that they do different is that the Home Mini plays for my Google Play Music, and Amazon didn't. So before I invested too much money, I only put like $70 into the Echo Dots for two of them. I re-gifted those. I gave one to my mom. Nice. She's like, I don't need this thing. And then she played Jeopardy and the song quiz on it, and she loved it. Like, within an hour and a half, my mom completely did a 180 flip on smart homey Echo Dotty type stuff. But anyway, I bought two or three Echo or Google Home Minis, and I got one of them in because I ordered it in advance. They were $29 each. So okay. I got one around, you know, for almost every room. I got the living room, my bedroom, and then I'll put one in the garage so right. I can work out and I can listen to music. And you can just say, hey, Google, do this thing. Make sure my phone doesn't go off when I do that.
Yeah.
I did that. I got Wolfenstein, the new Wolfenstein 2.
The new Colossus.
For PC for $25. There was a sale.
Yep.
And unfortunately, you know, as much as I loved it, I was playing a friend's copy. And I was able to sort of transfer my save, but not transfer my achievements over.
Oh, really?
Because, well, it doesn't automatically. Even though I transferred the save file, it didn't unlock the achievements I had gotten on his account.
Oh,
so
no.
So I'm like, okay, well, I'll just play it again. I'll just have to play it again because that's
how I have to achieve that all again.
Yeah, you know, that's how you value yourself. You have to make sure that you
you have to achieve something.
That's it. So anyway, I played and I beat that. And I'm sad to hear that as awesome as that game is, as much as I care about some of the characters in that game, mm-hmm. And I didn't really think that the gameplay was all that bad. Apparently, it's getting raked over the coals with reviews because they're saying the gameplay is very average and it's just mechanic Nazi corridor after mechanical Nazi corridor after blah 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 level, you know. And it's just all very similar. And I didn't feel that at all.
I felt that it was more,
but they kind of thought it was just humdrum, very common boilerplate type of gameplay. And I didn't think that. So I played that. Played a lot of RimWorld. And I'm still playing Destiny. There are some things in Destiny, though, that before we cut to some songs and then come back for our main segment, I did want to talk about a little bit.
Does that tie in a certain song?
Kind of, in a way. So Destiny has microtransactions.
Oh, let me stop you. We're going to keep that for the main segment, but we're going to go into the music.
Okay, let's go into the music then.
Yeah.
This is GWK Culture is Dead by Kirby Crackle and Bitcoin Baron by YT Cracker. That was another thing that I did. Bitcoin is shooting through the roof. It actually hit 11,000 when at the beginning of the year it was something like 3,000 or something.
Wow.
I mean, it over tripled.
Go to a bar with Bitcoin, see how valuable it is.
Well, that's true, but I can sell the Bitcoin that I own and get like triple my investment. So I do have a little bit of that. And it's one of those things where it's cryptocurrency. I don't quite understand it. I mean, I understand it, but I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's fiat currency, but whatever. Anyway, we're going to cut to these two songs. We're going to come back and talk about the main segment. So GWK Culture is Dead, Kirby Crackle, and Bitcoin Baron by YT Cracker. See you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
And this is the Experience Points Radio exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
And I'll throw a pin at you. Sorry. Bitcoin yep. Baron by YT Cracker and GEEK Culture is Dead by Kirby Crackle. Ha! That's just a clickbaity title. It's not really not what the song's about.
You won't believe what happens in it, though. Click now.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I hate BuzzFeed.
I really do, too. But there's somebody we probably hate more.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So, soft intro to the concept, and then we'll go to this is the good side, and this is the bad side, right? So, good side is, I mentioned earlier in the previous segment that I was playing a lot of Destiny 2. And Destiny 2 does have microtransactions in it with their bright engrams. You can get bright engrams that you can then decrypt in the game.
I remember this. Go on.
And sort of get some items in the game. Or you can just get sort of silver. They call it silver, but you spend $5, you get 1,000 silver or something. And then you buy emotes or cosmetic things. Everything that you get can be acquired via regular currency, can be acquired in-game normally.
But what happens when you max out your level?
When you max out your level, it was recently found. People were kind of crunching the numbers that as you would grind public events, as you would go and do things in the game, you would earn less XP over time for the same events. So initially, you would earn the same amount of XP for every event. And then they started noticing sort of a drop off. So when they brought that up to Destiny or the Destiny subreddit, they figured out, like, wait, this isn't just me. This is with everybody. There's this weird back-end sort of throttle that means that you can only earn so many of these bright engrams by leveling up your light level by achieving a number of amount of experience points only so many times that you can't. It's not about how much you play. It's about how much you play to a point. And then when brought to Destiny or Bungie's attention, Bungie says, yeah, we were experimenting with a way of dealing with XP and everything, but we have disabled that. Thank you for – we stand ready to listen to the feedback of the you know.
So they immediately got rid of it.
It took within a Tuesday, a patch day. Mm-hmm. So they turned it off. They said, we're still looking at XP gains and we're going to track that. But then it almost got worse in a way. Instead of turning it off or exclusively turning it off, they sort of they doubled or half the amount of XP that you earn across the board or double the amount of XP you need in order to get what you wanted to get anyway. So instead of making it so that everybody just earns equal amounts, they actually made it so that it's a little bit more inachievable to get what you were trying to get by playing longer. You have to play so much now to get those bright engrams that it's not going to happen. Like, you can't practically spend that much time in the game and really expect to, like, you were just grinding all the time.
Nice.
When before, you could have grinded it with sort of this linear progression and gotten all of these things. And it's sort of a way that they feel, a lot of gamers feel, to constrain the market so that you almost have to
purchase.
If you want more bright engrams, you have to spend $10, $5, or whatever,
no.
Which is bad. Bungie even went as far as to cancel their live stream of the new DLC to sort of address these issues. So, I mean, they are very much aware of it. That's Bungie's. It sounds like I said, oh, this is the good one. The good side of this is that Bungie is listening. There is an avenue to discuss things like this.
No, I'm going to disagree with you.
Well,
Bungie got caught.
Bungie got caught, but when they got caught, they pulled back. And it wasn't like they were forcing people to buy things. I'm going to say that I appreciate Bungie's
games. I think
that's
exactly what they were doing. They were putting you in a circumstance where you had either two options. You could not get the game. You could not achieve what you wanted to in the game, a game you paid $60 for, plus some more than that with tax. And when you pay that money, you have the expectations of going in and saying, if I play this game, I can reasonably get to the highest level or whatever because I pay this game and it's an option and none of that.
Right.
When you do that and you control the environment and throttle people, you're cultivating an environment to just make money.
So I may have misrepresented the events. What they really did was they said after a number of routine grinding maneuvers, things like going and doing the same public events or doing the same sort of just game activities over and over and over again, that within the same week, within the same sort of every week there's a reset, soft reset, and you can achieve more powerful gear and everything every week. By doing all of those really sort of relatively easy things to grind based on your light level, based on all these things, they were diminishing their returns so that you couldn't continue to do incredibly easy things and get more XP over the entire week.
But could you do could you do the harder stuff though and still get XP? I didn't know
you
that.
Could go and do the raid.
I thought they were just throttling across the board.
No. It is my understanding that this was the incredibly easy side of the game. The end game, once you get to the end game, it's the raids, it's the strike missions, the playlists, the nightfalls, things like that that have modifiers.
That is this, something for the higher level.
This was a way their excuse, at least, was this was a way to constrain and sort of have a stranglehold on players getting a lot of Bright Ingrams by doing things that were categorically much easier for them. It's not like your light level is 300. We're going to give you nothing for doing this public event. They said, no, we're going to give you this much the first time, and let's just figuratively say this much the second time, and so forth.
I can get by. I thought they were throttling them across the board.
No, I don't believe that was the case.
Okay,
The next part was, unfortunately, they did seemingly half the experience gained from things or double the experience needed to get the Bright Ingrams in a maneuver to kind of deal with the inflation, XP inflation. That's what I think they called it. And I can see that and go, okay, well, XP inflation is a real thing. You have people that – it's always hard to deal with games that scale based on level because when you have gear and then you have level and then you have skill.
Yeah.
The two things you can control are the level and the gear.
Yeah.
You can control how fast someone gets to the level and then the type of gear they get once they get there.
Right, and you can't control like the other people.
You can't control the skill or the time that people are going to put in there.
So, okay, I have a little more sway with that.
It's sort of like a differential equation at that point.
That is, I'm suspicious of anything like that now.
No, it makes sense because you're like, I already paid the game, what are you going
to
do?
They're
trying to make sure that people don't immediately max out very easily. The game should have some difficulty.
Right, and I see what they're trying to do with the balancing of keeping somebody who's just doing really easy stuff for 540 hours.
Right.
He's not doing any of the hard stuff. So why should he have
right.
the growth
and
that he's supposed to be
doing? That is my understanding. I will admit, reading the aggregate of those stories, I may have missed something. I'll go ahead and I'll double check.
Okay,
and
right,
we'll regress next week.
But if that's the case, that's not...
As bad
that's
as,
not what I said it was.
That's not this other company.
Right. That's not this other company where that's not... creating to push people into microtransactions. That's to push people into getting the other experiences in the game.
Right.
Way different.
Yes.
Night and day. Because you still don't have to spend a cent unless you want to. It's, again, an idiot tax, as I've said before.
Now, and it's sort of a random idiot tax. You don't even know if you're going to get... There are some things you can buy outright.
Right.
There are a lot of things, unfortunately, that are just kind of random chance.
Okay. Speaking of the random chance and everything like that, let's talk about why I was so defensive about the Destiny 2 thing. Now I've heard everything. I'll probably pick up Destiny 2, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Star Wars Battlefront 2.
What once could have been such a good, easy game, such an easy money sink.
That is, I'll get to the other point, and let me give a background on what happened. So when the game was in its pre-release state, meaning people, if you pre-ordered and bought it, you could play it a week early.
Right.
It turns out that when you try to play it and get enough credits, the heroes in the game, like Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, they're in the loot crates.
Relatively basic heroes.
Oh, right. You have to purchase them with credits to unlock them to use them.
Right.
And the credit count is so high.
You earn it over time.
But the estimate was a normal average player, it would take them about 40 hours to unlock one character.
Yeah.
And there are 22 characters.
Mm-hmm.
Do your math.
Yep.
Now, guess what they sold in their microtransaction was these loot boxes that had credits.
Right.
So you could either pay to unlock these characters or spend an ungodly amount of time. It was something crazy like 4,000
or 40,000 hours. It was a ridiculous, like the number was, this game may not be around for that much time of real life.
Yeah. And
like, it was just a ridiculous number.
It was a clear, blatant attempt to force people to do microtransactions.
I don't know. It's a pay to win scheme because you don't necessarily win by being Darth Vader.
Here's the issue.
Can't viably decide, like, I'm going to unlock all these characters without spending some
and
money.
Here's the thing, though. Whether or not it's pay to win is another argument. This is in my eyes, this is gambling, and this is not what you advertised and not what you paid for. Because what the beta, they did a bait and switch. Mm-hmm. I played the beta. The beta didn't have anything like this. I never hinted at that. The loot crates were, you got the loot crates and you got the star cards. It was easy to get the credits in game. It took you two or three maybe. You got the credits. You can get some star cards. Heck, you could probably unlock all the star cards. And, you know, after about 100 hours, which is for an online competitive game,
I would say that's a valid amount of time.
That's a valid amount of
time.
Because
it's online. You're going to spend that
and
time.
And that's how it was in the beta. The heroes were not behind a credit wall. I could play any one of them that was available for that map after getting the battle points in the match and everything. And I was fine with it. It was good. There were some people who complained about the loot boxes. I'm like, they're easy to get the credits for. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's fine. When the final game came out, it was deceitful. Absolutely deceitful. And they should be ashamed of themselves.
Well, I'm sure they are. Well,
now they are.
I don't know if they're ashamed of themselves or, again, they got caught.
People
didn't receive this well. And if you've been under a rock, you don't know. But they initially, there was such a big upset about it. They disabled the feature.
I'll tell you, well, here's what happened with that. I've gone into the story about that. Uh-huh. So the reason why they disabled the feature is, who owns Star Wars?
EA. Well, I'm sorry, Disney.
No, EA has a very temporary license for the Star Wars games. Disney called them and said, you take that out now.
And PewDiePie calls EA. Look, guys, you don't want to mess with Disney.
No, and that's the thing. There's one thing, you can mess with gamers,
the mouse.
You don't mess with the mouse.
Right.
And Star Wars is a franchise they care a lot about, especially with a movie coming up.
What I don't understand, because they were, you don't put microtransactions into a game unless the whole point is to make money.
If it's a free-to-play game, microtransactions are how it makes its money back.
And that's what a lot of people are saying. Like, hey, look at games like Hearthstone, where you have to buy card packs, and that's a microtransaction. But Hearthstone is a free to play game, and you can achieve all of those cards in game, or you can try to support the developers.
Right.
And then there's also an argument that games should be more expensive. That game should be $100 instead of $60. And for some games, they better be damn good games.
They better be very
big. If it was Witcher 3, I'd gladly pay
$100. I was about to say Witcher 3. I'd pay $80.
I'd pay $80 to $100 for Witcher 3 and a season pass. But, you know, games are $60. And if you can't make money with Star Wars, if you really can't make money with a Star Wars game in 2017, you are very clearly, should not be in the
this
industry.
This was the amount of greed. I'll disagree on the expense of the video games, because the film industry can do $150 million. Games don't. There's not $150 million for games.
No.
That budget doesn't exist. But movies, $16 a ticket, $30 for the DVD. How much is that altogether?
Yeah, about
you spend
40, 46
bucks on the thing. Yep. But they still make money.
They still do.
So I don't
Well, there
quite
are a lot
believe.
More people out there that can watch a movie than can play a game.
That's true.
There's infrastructure involved, more than just a DVD or a Blu-ray player and a TV to play a game. But I see your point, and I agree with your point. Mm-hmm. I think the Senate, because that wasn't how I believe it, but I've heard that argument, and I can sort of get it, that there are some developers out there that they spend a lot of money on a game and people don't like it. For instance, if Machine Games doesn't make money on Wolfenstein 2, I will be a little upset, because I want them to make another one.
Right.
They left a cliffhanger at the end of 2, and I want to see how the story ends. I want it to be a trilogy or something. Same thing with CD Projekt Red. They made a profit on Witcher 3, so I want Cyberpunk 2077. But if developers can't make – if they can make good games and yet they sell the games for a cheap price and don't make their money back and enough to deal with the downtime between games to develop, then we don't get good games from those anymore. And it's frustrating.
It's tough.
EA very clearly, the sad thing is Battlefront 2 looks like a great game.
What sucks so hard about this is that, oh, by the way, the Belgium Gaming Commission has determined that the game is a form of gambling and has banned it in their country and is moving for the European Union to do the same. My family's home state of Hawaii is doing the same thing now. Yeah. They are investigating the game as well, and I hope they find it in violation of gambling laws, and there actually is a case for it.
I, I'm worried, and that's a big step. I don't know that there's necessarily a precedent set before it, but if that happens, then a lot of things change. And yes. I don't know. I'm not saying microtransactions are necessarily bad. I never fall for them.
I never hated them because they did help supplement some income. But as long as they never took away from the core gameplay and that I was willing to put time in and they never took away from the game, I was fine with them. This was the bridge too far. This was restrictive.
Yeah.
And it's just – and then back to the – I know that Star Wars Battlefront 2, there's a good game in there too. That's what sucks.
Yeah.
Because DICE worked really hard. Well, they busted their butt.
I'll say the same thing. BioWare Montreal and Mass Effect Andromeda, and here's EA. And I'm not going to say it's all EA.
No, I mean,
there were missteps. There were certainly missteps in development, but – you have publishers, you have developers that are really working hard, and you have publishers that are pressuring from top down to, and it's a sad, sinister story, but you have publishers that are pressuring to put these money-making mechanics into these games that otherwise would be perfectly legitimate games.
And not to be, whatever, the reason why film is able to make up, because that's a... film has been around for a long time. That is a very tight infrastructure machine.
Right.
You try to do some of these things that EA does to its developers, they look at you like you're crazy.
Right.
If you were in film, they go, "We switched the product halfway." No, you're an idiot. Get out of here. And everyone would be like, "What are they talking about? They needed to be out of business." But that's the shame. That DICE did make a good game, every time I see it, I'm like, man, it looks great. It does look like fun, but I'm not going to buy that.
I'm not going to buy it. I pay for EA Origin Access, which is sort of their free game, their games that you subscribe to or whatever. Mm-hmm. Andromeda Deluxe is now in there, and I paid $60 for it, or $70 or $80 for
Unbelievable.
It. And just 6 or 7 months later, I could have played it for free.
I'll tell you what, my dream is, and we're running out of time here, so I'll be quick. I would love for one of two things to happen. Disney Interactive, DreamWorks Interactive, mm-hmm. that made Medal of Honor that got sucked up by EA. I would love something to happen for Disney where Disney goes, you know what? We don't own an interactive studio after LucasArts or anything. Why don't we buy up EA and just use that as a publishing, and then we control it?
That would be nice. I think,
and I know the 20th Century Fox thing. So maybe
I don't know that. I don't know that they really care about Madden or any of the.
I know they
the
probably,
non-story driven titles. I guess
right. I know they probably don't, but I think they would be their interest would be to release Madden.
It'd
be
great if they could just bought THQ when THQ was up for grabs, and they would have just been like, "Yeah, now we're using THQ." So
well, if I was a Disney executive, I'm like, "Look, we don't have there's a huge market, but we can't." Video games have changed in the last 10 years. It used to be we could pump out a game every movie. You need a 2 or 3 year good development cycle for something decent.
And let's just face it, movie-based video games.
No, don't try it.
Please. Because the movie's only 2 hours long. The video game should be much longer. And let's just put it this way. Unless it's like really, really fun, it's not going to be memorable.
But I'd be like, let me make a Marvel game. Yeah. Give me a 2 year to 3 year development cycle for a Marvel game, and I'll give you something great.
But, yeah, well, I mean, there's so much source material there, too, you know?
Yeah.
If you had to make a 12-hour, 20-hour Lion King game today.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, like when it was 2 or 3 hours on the Super Nintendo or the Genesis, depends on what camp you're in. Same with Aladdin, depends on what camp you're in.
Yeah.
It was okay that game was only 4 hours because it could be all the levels in the game because it was just different time. But
yeah. All right. Well, I think we're almost out of time.
We are out of time. We are going to leave you with one song. Before we do that, I am Matt.
I'm Dustin.
And you've been listening to the Experience Points Radio Show. We have a website. It's exppoints.com. Please check us out online. We also have exppoints.com/social for a social media landing page. That's Twitter, Facebook, Google+, YouTube, and Steam community. iTunes and Stitcher. I promise we will cut together all the audio. That's put another nickel in the bucket there. But we will going to leave you with one song now at this point. This is Mining Craft by Professor Shy Guy. I guess we'll catch you back next week. If you are a student and it is finals week for you,
good luck out there.
Good luck, guys. You got this. If you don't hate, well, you know, we're here next year. So we'll see you in the spring. But anyway, I'm Matt.
I'm Dustin again.
This is Mining Craft by Professor Shy Guy. And this is the Experience Points Radio Show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.